Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Some weeks back, if you were here or if you weren't, maybe you listened to the podcast on the website or watched the message, I talked in that message a fair amount about love, agape love, and that, you know, in our culture, in our language of English, you know, we use one word love, and yet it has a variety of meanings, you know, and it can mean a different thing, like I love Italian food. That should be different than when I talk to my child and say, I love you. Those two things have to be different. Please, they better be different. And, you know, when we look in the original language of Scripture, they had different words for different types of love. And I talked a lot about agape love, and, you know, we kind of coin it as unconditional, which is true, but probably a better word is charity, which some texts and translations use. Charity, a benevolence. And this morning, I want to talk to you about another kind of love. And Jesus used this word, and we're going to look at that in John chapter 21. And this love that we're going to consider and look at here is a phileo love. And we're going to talk a little bit about that and what it means and the context for it, and pick up how that applies to our life. In John 21, to kind of set the stage here, this is after Jesus was crucified, okay? And he descended into hell. He rose again on the third day. And he conquered sin and death and hell. And right now is where you should scream again, hallelujah, you know? And he conquered sin and death and hell and made a way for us, that through him we conquer sin and death and hell. We have a hope and an eternity. And it starts in this life. We don't have to wait for the next. And so Jesus did this. And so this has already been done. Then Jesus was starting to show himself to people. There were some reports of him that people saw him and people talked with him. Some didn't know it till after the experience was over. And so here's a setting now where seven disciples were out fishing. And Peter basically kind of said to the rest of the guys that were there, I'm going to go fishing. So they said, yeah, well, we might as well. And I'm paraphrasing a little bit. And they get in the boat, they go out a ways, and they are fishing. Well, Jesus shows up on shore. Okay? And he looks out and he sees the disciples. He recognizes the seven. And he yells out, because they're not catching any fish, throw the net on the other side. So they throw it on the other side. There's so many fish, they're having difficulty pulling the net in. And John says to Peter, it's the Lord. And Peter recognizes it is the Lord. And because he was fishing and work, he didn't have very many clothes on. He throws on his cloak and he throws himself overboard into the sea and begins to swim and make his way to shore while the others are pulling in the net and going to bring the boat in. Peter couldn't wait. He gets to shore, and then this dialogue unfolds where Jesus asks this question. Peter, do you love me? Now, depending on which gospel and translation you look at, the first question that Jesus asked was, Peter, do you love me more than these? Now, when we look at that and we say, you know, is Jesus talking about, Peter, do you love me more than these other than you love these other guys? Than these. I want to suggest to you the possibility that he wasn't talking about the other guys. That is it possible that Jesus, when he was talking to Peter and says, do you love me more than these, that he was referring to the fish. Follow this. What was Peter before Jesus came along and called him to follow him? He's a fisherman. He knew about fish. What did he say about Peter in the scripture? I will make you a fisher of men. Now, this is after the crucifixion, after the resurrection. Peter still remembers that he denied Jesus 3 times, right? This is weighing on Peter. Just like guilt and condemnation weigh on you and I when we grieve the Holy Spirit or disobey God or disappoint God or we're disappointed in our faith, it's bothersome and we carry it with us. And, you know, is God still love me? Is he still, you know, we go through all these thoughts and things and I feel like I'm disappointed and I want him to forgive me and I ask forgiveness. I hope he did. I hope I can still make heaven. You know, we just beat ourselves up. I mean, you know, the enemy doesn't even really need to get involved much probably. We're just so condemning and feeling guilty. And so remember, this is rolling around in Peter's mind a little bit and stirring in his soul. And so he comes up and Jesus says, do you love me more than these? You know, Peter and the rest of the disciples, I mean, Peter's the one that said, Jesus, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He professed by the Father in heaven, revealed to Peter, that Jesus is the Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the Savior. Then he disappointed. He denied. And here Jesus is crucified. They're still trying to wrap their minds around the prophecies, the things that Jesus said and revealed. And it's like, Jesus, I thought you were the Messiah. I'm not grasping all this. How is this going? Now this rabbi that we followed around that we knew as the Savior and believed in and wanted to honor, and now he's gone. It's interesting about humanity that when those kind of things happen and disappointment sets in and not knowing what to do, we usually go back to the last thing we did. You see, I was called to be a fisher of men, not sure what all that meant. I have a little bit of an idea, but now Jesus left and I don't know what to do. I don't know how to pursue the call. I don't know how to continue to be his disciple. I don't know about my spiritual life. They're in a tailspin. He doesn't get it. And so what's he do? He goes back to what he knew before. And Jesus shows up and says, do you love me more than these? And Peter says, Lord, I love you. Jesus replies, then feed my sheep. In other words, would you quit going back to what you were and stick with the call? And as you have known me, and don't base your love for me upon these conditions that I didn't die. Or that I died in your mind, but I live. And what does this mean for you? He says, feed my sheep. Stop fishing and go feed my sheep. Jesus came for the lost sheep of Israel. He said, Peter, get about the kingdom business. Don't go back to what you knew. These things that I told you about that you can't grasp, listen, do you love me? Do you have this love for me that's not based upon conditions that you had in your mind that I should never die or shouldn't be crucified or I shouldn't suffer? And now that those conditions weren't met in your mind, you go back to what you were doing. This applies to your life and mine when we feel like, wait a minute, the conditions that I assumed upon God didn't work out. Well, now I'll just go back to where I was. Listen, don't go back to Egypt. Make the trek, cross the river into the promise. And he says to Peter, do you love me? Then stop fishing for fish and feed sheep. The love that Jesus was talking about there was an agape love. Will you love me beyond the conditions that you've set? And Peter says, I love you. Jesus goes again and asks, Peter, this time do you love me more than these? Do you love me? Do you love me without this kind of condition? He's using an agape word here, agape love, not phileo yet. He says, do you love me like this? And Peter says, Lord, I love you. Jesus asks Peter a third time, but there's a change when he asks him this time. And some theologians, they disagree on this part, but there are those who think that when Jesus asked this third time, he said, Peter, do you phileo me? Do you love me? Do you have a friendship love for me? Do you have an affection for me? Do you like me? Do you have that kind of love for me that you are connected with an affection towards me because you like me and therefore you have this love for me, this friendship love, this phileo. Phileo speaks of this friend or attraction or like. It's like garments. In this world we live in technology, if you want good clothing for when you're working out, you want a fabric that is hydrophilic. That means it likes water, and it lifts water off your skin. It takes the perspiration off you, and so you buy this kind of garment. It's hydrophilic. It's friendly to water. It's this phileo word that we get, not hydrophobic. If you want rain gear, you want hydrophobic. Oh, you're learning about all kinds of things. I know I'm not getting sidetracked, but I want you to know this phileo and this phobic, they're opposite. And hydrophobic is like rain gear. It repels water. You don't want to be at collecting water. That garment, that jacket's going to be 125 pounds soaking wet, and it's going to saturate out, and it's not going to work. So, philic, phobic, phileo, philanthropy, you are a friend and do good things to humanity, right? Phileo. And Jesus says, do you, Peter, do you, phileo, do you love me, have affection for me as a friend? Do you like me like this? Love Peter's response. He's a little agitated. He's weary that Jesus had to ask him three times. But this time the question changed. And Peter says to Jesus, he says, Lord, you know everything. In other words, you know everything. You know what's in my heart. You know my history. You know where I've disappointed. You know how I feel and what I think now. You know what's in the heart of a person. He says, Jesus, you know everything. In other words, if I could open myself up to my inmost being physically and you could peer in here, Lord, you would know that I love you. I love you like this. You are my friend. I spent time with you. I listened to you. I ate with you. I disappointed you in the hour of trial and suffering. I denied you. But Lord, I have such a sentiment and I like you so very much. Yes, you know that I love you. You see, some of us, we have friends or relatives, and if you were to talk about them, are they believers or are they Christians? I hear this from time to time when people talk about it in a proper context, not as a gossip or slander. You say, you know, I grew up in a home, this is just an example, where my parents went to church. We didn't really talk about Jesus in the home. I know they have a faith, but, you know, if you were to ask them, do they love God? They're not going to say, no, I don't love God. They would probably just rather not have the conversation. But they don't want to be on the side of saying, I don't love God. So they would say, yes, I love God. And it would be kind of this nominal, you know, without condition, without this intimate interaction, yes, I agape God, I love God, I'm charitable towards it. And that's a love that we need to appreciate because that's the love that saved us. But some of the difference is when a person begins to love God like a friend. Not just agape, you remove the conditions, and now I actually have a spiritual fervor, a spiritual passion for the person of Jesus. This third question that Jesus asked Peter, do you love me like a friend? Let me ask you this morning, is your love for God distant and based upon, you know, maybe some conditions or in an unconditional manner, but there's nothing real personal, nothing where there's affection for Christ? You're not with him to know that you like him. You see, that's a whole nother depth that takes place in the life of a person. So my question to myself and to you, do you phileo, do you love God like this? You see, Jesus loved them like that. I mean, we always look at when Jesus ascends to the Father in heaven and he leaves his disciples and he's going to send the Holy Spirit. And we know that that's the Father's plan and the Father's will. And we always look at it from the perspective of the disciple. Jesus got crucified, Jesus died. Now what do we do? Or Jesus is ascending and I don't get the whole plan, I don't understand it all. And they're missing, they're feeling, I'm missing my friend. But you know what? Do you understand that Jesus felt the very same thing? These were his friends. He called them friends. In the scripture, they were no longer servants, they became friends. He liked them, he loved them, he had a natural affection for them. It was no longer just only an agape, unconditional, benevolent, charitable love. I mean, he was going to his Father in heaven and he was excited about that because he's been away from his Father. He still communicated and talked with his Father and prayed to his Father and had, you know, communication with his Father, but he was held here in this body he took on. Now he's been released to go be with his Father, but he's leaving his disciples. He's leaving his friends. That was hard. That affected him. It's just like you and I, you know. I have a daughter and son-in-law who had a baby. Some of you would know because he was premature. And, you know, he was here this last summer and, you know, he wasn't quite 1 year old yet. We kind of celebrated his 1 year birthday and he wasn't, you know, walking really yet on his own or any of those things. Well, you know, they moved to Georgia. My grandson has evil parents. They took him away from me. I mean, while he was with us, this is our little guy. I'm Papa, and my little cubby, you know. They took him away. I didn't like that. They should have left him with us. They could go. I missed that. I agape that little guy, but I flail that little guy. I mean, you know, I'm not being skewed in my view here and talking about like I don't know, but you know what? He liked me. He liked me. You can ask those in the family. They'll tell you, actually, yeah, he did like him. I know you're looking for her for confirmation. Just nod your head. Yeah, okay, see? He liked me. That hurt when they left. Come on, some of you are military families. We live by Fort McCoy. You've had to leave places. Your children have had to leave places. And you're excited maybe about the new opportunity, but you had to say goodbye to some people because you phileoed them. You had an affection for them. Some of you have relocated because of jobs. Some of you, as students, you've had to change schools. And where you were changing schools to, your friend is going to a different school. I mean, think about this. You were away at college and you had a roommate or roommates or, you know, in the dorm or the apartment and, you know, you graduate and you're excited about your future and all of a sudden it catches up with you and you go, wait a minute, I'm leaving my best friends. It was hard. I want you to know that Jesus felt that very thing for his disciples when he left. Now he knows he's going to see them again. But in the moment, Jesus had an affection for them. He phileoed them, and they phileoed him back. And my question is, do you and I have that kind of relationship with the Lord? You see, in Matthew 22, 37, 38, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. And different translations and other gospels, you'll see, and with all your strength. Well, this phileo has to do with not just this obligation love of I'm choosing to love without a condition. It is like I like you, I love you, I have an affection for you, and we are connected. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. It's a heart love. Now, the mind That is a point where we engage thought and we make a choice. And that love is not like it's lesser. It's that these loves, multiple loves, are in operation with God. And they should also be in operation on the horizontal level of relationship with one another. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, or your operating system of who you are, and with all your strength. Now, I'm grateful because, you know, my strength runs out. Lord, I want to love you with all my strength, but my strength, just like yours, it comes to its boundary. We're weak. I am so grateful that it reveals in Scripture that his strength is made perfect in my weakness, that he can empower me by his Spirit to love the Lord better beyond just my effort, but he can strengthen me to do so. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. Do I have a love for God that is a love of the heart? Not just this obligatory love or move without condition, but a heart love like Peter. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you like a friend. For greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for a friend. Luke chapter 6, Jesus says something very difficult. Verse 27, he says, love your enemies. Listen, that is not a natural friendship, phileo love. They are your enemy. They're your enemy. How do you love them? And this is where Jesus says, listen, you've heard the other, but I'm telling you to love your enemies. This is where my strength runs out, I'll just tell you. Okay? Because my strength runs out, and I need him to help me love enemies like he's calling me to, because my natural tendency kicks in and says, love them. I'm not going to love them. I want justice, in at least what my mind thinks justice is. My justice isn't always the same as God's justice. I need to be humble and honest about that. And I run to the end of my strength, and that's where he has got to help me love like he calls us to love, calling you to love this phileo love, this heart love and this mind love, this agape and phileo love, partnering together, that we choose to have an affection and a love and obligate ourselves to do something charitable and benevolent for someone who we consider who has been an enemy to us or critical of us, or detrimental to us, or schemed against us, for us to turn and love them and bless them. I don't know about you, but I need God's love to do that. So this morning, as we talk about this love, agape and phileo love, are we called and do we recognize a deeper passion and affection for the person of Jesus Christ? Not just as Savior and Lord and this obligation of unconditional and we thank him for it, but have we moved into a personal relationship with him?
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.